The Almighty has done great things in me, and holy is his name. What an absolute privilege it is to stand here before you. Now, as I look out and see so many familiar faces, and I know your stories and your walk with the Lord, that I feel absolutely honored to be able to share with you my story of the goodness of a faithful God. Because, you know, really, that is indeed my story. How God has chosen to reveal himself to me time and again as a loving Father who is always, always true to his word and his promises. I really am learning that while God may not always give me exactly what I ask for, and thanks be to God for that, right? But that he always gives me exactly what I need. And why? For no other reason. He is relentless in his love. So my story begins. I was born and raised a Catholic by a mother who dedicated me to the Blessed Virgin Mary at birth. I spent 8 years in Catholic school. There was never a time when I didn't pray or I didn't go to church or that I didn't believe in God. And I really believe my faith at that time was somehow tied to that dedication to the Blessed Mary. You know, I loved her. I loved Mary. I sang songs to her. She was the one that I went to when I was lonely or afraid. I always carried a rosary in my coat pocket so that every time my hand would slip into that coat pocket, I'd be reminded to say a decade or so to the Blessed Mother. Truthfully, I felt Mary was so much more approachable than God. God was this holy, awesome, mighty person, but he was so far beyond me. How could I ever hope to have a relationship with him? But Mary was one like me, and she understood where I was. The wonderful thing is, Mary always, always leads us to her son, and my story is no different. So from my childhood and teen years, I was really quite content and happy with my life until I was 21 and I faced the first real crisis in my life. I was ready to graduate from nurse's training. My fiance had just graduated from college and together we were planning our wedding, which was to take place in about 4 weeks. And he was then diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Now, for those of you who don't know, MS is a disease of the central nervous system. And especially back then, when treatment was so limited, it often left a patient paralyzed, incontinent, unable to speak, with memory problems, any of those things. They called it the great crippler of young adults because it so often affected people in their early 20s to 30s. At 21, I couldn't believe this was happening to me. Ned was this healthy, robust, full of life ex-football player who had this great life ahead of him as a chemical engineer. In fact, we dreamed together about how sweet life was going to be. Both of us came from rather meager backgrounds, and so we dreamed of how we were going to be able to have the better things in life since both of us had this great education. And what we were going to be able to do with and for our children because of it. We decided then that 6 kids would be a great number. And so the news of that diagnosis was absolutely devastating to me. Being a nurse, I knew what could lie ahead. Treatment, as I said, was very limited back then. And the fact that he was diagnosed at such a young age made it all the more likely that he was going to have a more severe outcome. Another problem I had at the time was my insecurity. I was so terribly insecure at that time of my life. Do any of you remember the book? It's an old, old book by Hannah Hanard, Hind's Feet on High Places. Has anybody read that book? It is a wonderful, wonderful allegory. But in that book, in the story, was a little sheep called Little Miss Much Afraid. You just met her. That sheep was me. But you know, I think I kept it really well hidden. I did very, very well in nursing school. only because I spent this inordinate amount of time studying, for fear that if I didn't study that hard, I would surely fail, because I really saw myself as stupid. I was afraid to drive except on deserted country roads. I would never, ever call to dispute a bill. I was afraid if I was in water over my head, afraid I was going to do something to win someone else's disapproval, and on and on and on this insecurity went. Most people didn't realize that about me because I pretty much avoided anything that would put me in an uncomfortable situation, and now I was getting married, and Ned could do that for me, or could he? There was such conflict going on in my head. I knew I loved Ned with all of my heart, but was I going to be woman enough that I was going to be able to face what might lie ahead in our future? Truth be known, I wanted to run away as far and as fast as I could. Suddenly, my faith, which had always served me so well, just wasn't adequate. I knew if I was going to be able to make it, that I really needed to know God in a lot of deeper way, and I needed to have a better relationship with Him than what I already knew. It was just about that time that my roommate from nurses training was talking to me about how I could come to know Jesus in a personal way, how Jesus really wanted to help carry my burdens, that all I needed to do was to ask Jesus to come into my heart and to give my life to Him and make Him the Lord and Savior of my life, and He would give me what I needed. Well, you know, that sounded very Protestant to me at the time. However, I was desperate and decided I really needed to take that. And so very uncharacteristically for me, I took this giant leap of faith, and I asked Jesus to come into my life. I told Him how desperate I was, how much I needed Him, and I asked Him to come into my heart, and I gave Him mine, and asked Him to come and be the Lord and Savior of my life. I immediately felt at that time this tremendous sense of peace that came over me. And while I didn't know what was going to lie ahead in our future, I knew two things. I was supposed to marry Ned, and that whatever happened, God would see us through. That night was the beginning of a great journey with the Lord. It's only in hindsight, when I look back on that experience, do I see Mary's hand leading me, telling me, do whatever He tells you. I remember the next few years being a time of great uncertainty, but also a time of great peace. Ned's illness was progressing. He responded for short periods of times to the medication they gave him, but we were finding that the attacks were coming quicker and quicker with less and less times in between them. In spite of all of that, probably most likely because of all of that, I really grew in my relationship with the Lord at that particular time, and I found a lot of peace in my daily prayer time and in scripture reading. Ned was still able to work, and the Lord blessed us with two beautiful daughters at that time. Life as it was, really seemed pretty normal for us. I remember, as I was learning to overcome insecurities, what pride I felt the first time I changed a flat tire all by myself. I drove through Pittsburgh alone and made it through. My daughter, shaking her head because she often was at 6 years old, was the one who gave me directions. I remember jumping in the river over my head at a friend's cabin. And lo and behold, one time I did the income tax all by myself, long form. I really was learning, as Scripture taught me, that I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. The next few years were like most young families, except I had this growing hunger inside me for something more. I can remember thinking there has to be something more to following Jesus than what I found. I was so tired of my prayer, you know, bless them, help them, do that. It was the same routine prayer. I will confess that I often felt bored at Mass. Scripture that was once very helpful for me all of a sudden didn't speak very much to me at all. And I kept praying, God, there has to be something more. Even though I remained faithful to my prayer time, to my daily life with the Lord, that unrest just continued to grow inside me. At the same time, Ned's disease was really progressing. It was really taking his toll. He was missing a lot of work. He was becoming weaker and weaker. He began to exhibit some memory loss, and he was becoming very depressed. The associate pastor at our parish at the time, most of you are familiar with the Reverend Patsy I. Quinta, came to visit Ned one night and brought with him a book by Merlin Carruthers called Prison to Praise. When Ned wasn't reading the book, I grabbed it and I started to read, and I could not put that book down. The author talked about this phenomenon for me about being baptized in the Spirit, where one can receive a deep inner joy, a freedom, and a power to live the Christian life. I thought, if what this man is saying is true, I want every bit of it. So that night, I went into my bathtub. You mothers of young toddlers know that the bathtub might be the only place you have any kind of privacy, at least for a couple minutes before they come knocking. But I went into the bathtub and simply asked Jesus in just that way, Lord, I don't know what this is all about, but what I want, if what you're saying is true, if this is really you, then I want whatever it is you want to give me. So baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Mr. Crothers talked about the gift of tongues that sometimes comes when one is baptized in the Spirit. And I thought, I want it all. And so I did what he had recommended, which was just to start making sounds, not in English. What came out was so ridiculous, I nearly stopped. But I continued for some reason. And before I knew what had happened, I had this new prayer language. I felt that I was praying from the very depths of my being, and it just flowed and flowed, almost like a catharsis. And I felt as though I prayed for a long time. And when I finished praying, I was aware of this deep sense of joy, a joy that I had not experienced before, and a peace, you know, that peace that passes understanding that we all know about. I really had that night. I started to notice other things as well. My prayer life changed. Instead of the give-me's, as I like to call it, I found that my prayer was a lot more full of thanks and praise and worship. Scripture came alive once again. I can remember reading a scripture that had confounded me. I had no idea what it meant. And you get that aha moment that all of a sudden the light goes off and the light goes on and you understand what God's saying. I experienced a new love for my family, for my neighbors, for my church. I can remember I wanted so badly to be able to share with others what had happened to me. What made that experience so unusual for me was the fact that I had never heard before about baptism in the Spirit in the Catholic Church. I was totally unaware that there was anything like a prayer group. I didn't know about a Life in the Spirit seminar. I had no idea what praying in tongues sounded like before this. I had never heard anyone speak. And so it was only after the experience, as Father Andy was just saying, it was only after the experience that I came to an understanding of what had happened in me. And if I was going to sum that all up in just a nice little neat sentence or two, I would tell you that I found a faithful, loving God who knew me and knew exactly what I needed, who loved me with an infinite love, allowed my heart and my mind to be open to receive the fullness of his love for me through his Holy Spirit. Jesus did indeed baptize me in the Holy Spirit that night. That was 40-some years ago now, and life for me has never been the same. I soon found others who individually were having the same experience that I was, and it was Father Patsy who brought us together. Eventually, we formed a prayer group, and that group is still in existence today. Little did I know that night how much I was going to need that fresh outpouring of God's love. It was just a short time later. Ned and I went to bed as usual, and I woke up with a startle in the middle of the night, and Ned was having a grand mal seizure. The problem was is that the seizure wouldn't end, and so we had to get him by ambulance to the hospital. They gave him tons of medication, and after hours, it finally stopped. But he was in a deep coma, and he stayed there for about 3 days. When he awoke, he was severely brain damaged. He recognized me and Father Patsy for whatever reason, but he didn't remember that he and I were married. He didn't know his children. He had lost all of his short-term memory. This was only the beginning of many such trips to the hospital and a steady downhill course for my husband. He now pretty much required total care. Life for our family had changed dramatically. I was 26 at the time. My daughters were 1 and 4. We had no extended family nearby, and Ned was certainly unable to work anymore. Since there wasn't daycare at the time, and since Ned required his specialized care, my possibilities of my working outside the home were really impossible. Now, I know all of that sounds pretty grim, but I am here to tell you we serve a forever faithful God who knows exactly what we need. Yep, there were lots and lots of really difficult times. Two things I remember so much about the experience. Ned had this habit of asking the same list of questions, maybe about 7 or 8 questions, over and over and over again, like hundreds of times in a day. So that by evening time, I would be so frustrated with those questions. I'd go downstairs to the washer and dryer. I'd literally beat the living heck out of it. I would yell and cry and yell some more at God. I'd have a good cry, blow my nose, and then I'd be able to go on again. One of my biggest worries when Ned was first diagnosed was how we were going to live financially. And I would lie awake at night, thinking of all of the possible scenarios of how we were going to be able to manage or not manage, including giving up my home. When I was finally able to surrender that worry to God, He provided everything we needed. I don't mean in miraculous, supernatural ways, but in the normal circumstances and situations of our life. Again and again, in so many ways, He taught me how to surrender and how to trust. One of His greatest gifts to me was finding Christian community. Before my bathtub experience, as I like to call it, I longed for people who loved the Lord like I did that I could share with. After being baptized in the Spirit, I met total strangers who quickly became brothers and sisters to me. And they so much eased the burden, so much helped to carry the load. I remember one really hot summer day. It was very humid, and this was long before air conditioning was popular. My daughter came to me and said, "Mom, can't we please go swimming?" And I had to tell her no. I felt so bad, but Ned just could not tolerate heat. I couldn't take him outside. So I had to say no, and just a few minutes later, there's a knock on the door. It's a member of our prayer group saying, "Hey, I'm taking my girls swimming. Would yours like to come?" Food shopping was always such a treat. I couldn't leave Ned with just anybody. He had particular needs, and I couldn't just leave him with anyone. So oftentimes, it would be Ned the wheelchair, two toddler daughters, and a buggy as we pushed our way through Kroger's. I'm sure it was a three-ring circus when they saw it. But so often, there would be a call, and one of the men in our prayer group particularly was very good with this. He'd call up and say, "Hey, I got 2 hours free tonight. Why don't you plan a shopping trip?" I mention these particular things because God's gifts are not always in the miraculous and the supernatural. I find He most often reveals Himself to me in the everyday, normal circumstances of my life. God does indeed do great things for us, and all we need to be is to be open to the way He chooses to reveal Himself. The community continued to pray for a miraculous healing for Ned, but it was not to be in this lifetime. His condition continued to deteriorate, and after a 3-month stay in the hospital due to an infection, his body finally gave out. He was no longer able to fight the infection, and he died and was called into the glory of his Father's kingdom, where there is no more pain or suffering. And that was that truth was a great comfort to me at the time. Again, it was my prayer community that continued to love and support us as we learned to build a new life as a single-parent family. God was indeed so faithful during that time. Life seemed very normal for us, really. We had the same issues, the same concerns every young family deals with. We were blessed for me financially to be able to stay at home until my girls were well into grade school. But eventually, I went back to work as an RN. Life was good. God was good. I was able to raise both of my daughters. They graduated college. They married two fine young men and then blessed me with three beautiful grandchildren who have opened my heart to love in ways that I didn't think was possible. And you would think that's the end of my story, right? But God has other plans. He has plans for my welfare, not for my woe. You know the saying, God loves us enough to accept us right where we are, but too much to leave us there. And that is, in fact, proven true in my life. After many, many years contented with my life, my career, my friends, my prayer group, I found myself in yet another struggle, this time an internal one. I was still praying. I was still attending prayer meetings, still doing all the right things, but I found myself overwhelmed emotionally. I was in my early 50s, and I was given a job at work in addition to an already full-time job. And this new job required a knowledge and a skills base that I felt totally unqualified for. I was really a fish out of water. I found myself working 12 to 14 hours a day every single day. The insecurity that I was feeling at work began to surface things within me that I had buried a long, long time ago. Now, God was already at work in me to bring me to a new freedom and joy, but I want to tell you, ladies, it surely didn't seem like it at the time. I was absolutely miserable. I was full of anxiety. I was so full of fear. I was depressed. For the first time in my life, I couldn't eat, and I was losing weight drastically. I couldn't sleep. As I said, I was terribly depressed. I was crying all the time. To make a long story short, I was one big mess. And it was in this desperation that I decided that I would leave not only my job, but I was going to leave my community and my home to move to Huntington to be near my oldest daughter, where I could start a new life and a new job. I soon discovered I brought the same me with me. As I said, God had plans for my welfare, not for my woe. By coincidence, I met a woman at church who has really been instrumental in a lot of healing in my life. She led me through a 12-step program that continues to revolutionize my life today. I come from a long line of alcoholics on both sides of my family. As children, we learn very early the role, don't tell, don't feel. I learned early to walk around that elephant in the living room without ever acknowledging his presence. I really was an expert at denial. And now I had to begin with a lifetime of these suppressed feelings and emotions. I had a good friend once. I used to call myself the queen of denial. A friend said, you know how you spell denial, don't you? Don't even know I am lying, which is absolutely true. I began to slowly understand some of the symptoms that I had had for all my life and didn't know why. The insecurity that I felt was one of those. You know, I had a mother and dad who told me every day they loved me and how wonderful I was, and I was, you know, the hero in my family, and yet I was so terribly insecure. The sense of isolation that I had all the time. I could be in a room full of people, family or friends, and still feel absolutely separated from them. I had a terrible need to be perfect, as my daughters will attest, to be in control at all times. And I had this terrible all or nothing syndrome. I bet you there are some ladies in this room that can relate. You can be planning something, doing a project at work, and have every single thing do perfect, but there's this one little thing that's out of miss, it negates everything else. It was all not for naught. I was a great people pleaser. While I was able to love and to care for others, it was part of my job as an RN, I found it very difficult to accept and receive the love and care from someone else. I was terribly, terribly critical of family members who were alcoholics until I discovered I had the same disease they did. The only difference between them and me is that I chose a different drug of choice. I chose compulsive overeating as my drug. As a compulsive overeater, very few people knew that of me. I don't think most people did. I was very good at hiding. And a couple things that I did is that I would never overeat in front of people. Never, never, never. Oh, no, thank you, not me. I only binged when I was at home alone at night. And, you know, I would plan my binges of what I was going to be able to eat. I think the reason that people didn't recognize that from me is because my life was so busy. My job was so busy. I burned a ton of calories. So I never really became very obese. And so I think I was able to hide the disease better than many compulsive overeaters can. All of that, all of those things made me feel very disconnected. I was one person on the inside. I was somebody else on the outside. Slowly but steadily, God continued to reveal himself and, more importantly, myself to me through that incredible, miraculous program of the 12 steps. I have found a new freedom, a joy, and a self-acceptance that I never thought I could have. More and more today, my insides match my outsides. God has truly brought me to a place that the 12-step program promises, a life where I can be happy and joyous and free as long as I continue to work the program and stay in fit spiritual condition. But even that is not the end of the story. Just as I was sure there was nothing more that God could possibly do for me that he had not already done, he totally surprised me with an absolutely awesome gift. Just as a little background. After my husband died, I kind of immersed myself in the care of my kids and in my prayer group. The last thing I wanted was another relationship. I had absolutely no desire to date. Years and years passed, so that by the time I was in my late 40s to early 50s, I can remember a couple times telling God, you know, it wouldn't be all that bad to have somebody in my life. You know, I guess, you know, that might work. And I dated a few men briefly, but never was there a serious relationship. Then, after living in recovery for a few years, I remember talking to God one day and said, you know what? I have absolutely everything I need. I feel absolutely, totally satiated in my life. I can't imagine it being any more perfect than what I have. And I was thanking God for that. Now, it was just about that time. I had been on occasion sending an email or sometimes a note to a dear friend of mine who had lost his wife to cancer. As a matter of fact, I was friends with his wife for about 20 years before she died. But I could see by his responses to me, he was having a terrible time trying to learn how to live without his wife. And I said a prayer for him at the time. I just kind of put it out of my mind that you know, I went on my way. And it was maybe about a month later during my regular prayer time, I really heard God say, I want you to reach out to Jim. He needs a hand to hold, a shoulder to lean on. And I thought, well, certainly I can do that. You know, I can be the big sister. I was remembering when my husband first died how wonderful it would have been to be able to go to a show or to a movie with someone without there being any other emotional strings attached. And so I thought, yes, of course I could be the big sister, and we'll just do that. And so when I got together with Jim, I explained what had transpired and how I was offering. I wanted to be there for him until he healed enough and was ready to start a relationship with someone. What I had not counted on was what happened next. After I had talked with him, I'm on my way home. I am filled with such a love for this man that the only thing that I can tell you is that I felt as though I was experiencing God's own love for him. That's the only way I know how to explain it. And believe me, ladies, those yellow flags were going up everywhere. I was before, whoa. That's not what I was counting on. Oh my gosh, what happens? He might fall in love with me. What if I fall in love with him? Oh, what would my daughters think? Oh my gosh, what would his family think? And on and on and on. And then I hear God say, will you just trust me with this one? And I did. And the rest is history. Jim and I did grow in our relationship. We fell in love. And this May, a month ago, we celebrated our second wedding anniversary. Thank you. At this very late stage in life, I know a love that I never dreamed possible. I have someone to share my everydays with for as long as God sees fit. Even at this age, God continues to open and expand my heart to love. I now have three new stepchildren who are adults, wonderful human beings. I am grandma to 12 beautiful children. Life is rich and full. Throughout our courtship and marriage, Jim and I have really had to face a lot of uncertainties. I won't go into all of that now. That's another story. But lots and lots of uncertainties with a lot of really important decisions to be made. Our mantra has become, Jesus, I place my trust in you. And always, always, he answers back to me, don't be afraid. I have made a habit for several years now to say a prayer of abandonment to God, my yes to God each day, where I put myself in the hands of God and ask that his will be done in me that day. I have no idea most times what God is doing in me, the work that he's accomplishing in me, but I see fruit from that prayer over time. But you know, this really isn't about my yes to God. It really is about God's yes to me. Just as he gave his yes to Mary, God rewarded Mary for her faithfulness to him, for her surrender. He honored her for her yes every day of her life, even when it meant that a sword of sorrow and grief would pierce her soul. And God says yes to each of us. He rejoices every time we say yes to him. He honors us every single time we decide to follow him. There is no act of faith, no act of trust, no act of obedience that escapes his notice. All God needs is our agreement. He can work with anything, even the most begrudging of yeses, and transform it into something beautiful and radiant and life-giving. As I was praying through, preparing this talk and praying through it, I was reminded of a prayer of surrender that I periodically read. And actually, this is a prophetic word that was given at a national Catholic Charismatic Conference many, many years ago by Father Jim Ferry. And when I reread the prayer, I really had the sense that God wanted this to be read today, to be prayed today, as his yes to each of you, of what he desires and how he wants to reveal himself to you. And so I would ask, I'm going to read this prayer, I'd ask if just relax, close your eyes, and just allow the Lord to speak to your heart in any way through this. Come to me, my friend. I call you to a deeper surrender of yourself. I call you to come to me, your Lord and your God. I call you to come to my freedom. Unloose your heart. Surrender again to me today. Come to me, my friend. I will give you all you need. Believe and trust in me. I know you will not always understand. Only know my way is the perfect way for you. My plan is a perfect plan for your life. Turn yourself to me again today. I wish to deepen my life in you. I wish to give you my love. My friend, I want to transform you, to make you a new creation, ever new, ever changing. I want to bring you into a deeper truth, a deeper freedom. I want you to believe in my power to transform you, to heal you. Do not limit what I can do. There is still so much more. There is still so much more I want to do with you and through you. I call you to a deeper faith that I may be still more powerful in you. I love you. I died for you. You alone. Amen. I think today we also have that opportunity that as God has revealed himself to us and let us know what he desires for us, that we have an opportunity at this prayer breakfast to be able to give our verbal yes, our commitment to follow the Lord and to surrender again, to give him our hearts and then to ask him in to take place within us to be Lord and Savior in our lives. I'm going to ask that everyone stand. If this is the very first time you've done this, if this is something, of course, I've asked Jesus into my heart, but maybe it's kind of grown stale. Or maybe you've been following the Lord all along. It doesn't matter where you are. Today, we have an opportunity to say yes once again. If there's anyone here in the room who doesn't feel comfortable with this, that's perfectly fine. But please remain standing. You can support your sisters as they make this commitment. But I would ask that you would just repeat this prayer for me. We'll say it together. It's going to be on the slide. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry as my personal Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Heal and strengthen me. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.